This recording is a production of the Conservative Anabaptist Education Committee. This presentation was recorded at the Conservative Anabaptist School Board Institute 2024, held at Ephrata Business Center in Ephrata, Pennsylvania, on March 1 and 2, 2024.
All right, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, you excited about being here?
Absolutely.
Very good. Well, I was given this topic of serving well on the school board, and wow, what a broad subject. I do thank the committee for giving me this. I feel a little bit of advantage over you because I was given this topic, and so I've been thinking about this for weeks. You just came here this morning and you're wondering what's all going to be said, and I actually am wondering what I'm all going to say as well. I want this meeting to, or this time to be a time of sharing. I'm not here just to lecture. I don't have all the answers. I can only share from my experiences what I have experienced in serving on the school board. So I do have a number of questions, and hopefully we can share together. So this is not me just lecturing you, and this is how you do this or that. I really want to hear. I'm here to learn as well. So please. Please share your thoughts, your questions. This is what it's all about. Several years ago, me and my buddies, I had taken them on a fishing trip, and we were headed out the inlet. It was only a few days after a hurricane passed through. And as we went out that inlet, I suddenly realized this inlet's a lot rougher than what it looked when I started. And we're quite white-knuckled and excited, and we hit them 8-10 foot seas and water coming up over the bow of the boat, and anyway, so we made it. We survived. I did find out later. We were laughing about it later. One of my passengers were about ready to jump overboard. He was that scared. He thought it was safer in the water than in the boat. So if that's how you feel, I feel a little bit that way this morning. So with white-knuckled excitement, I'm here, and hopefully we can share with you. Again, welcome your input. A little bit of who I am, a little bit of a testimony, I guess. Somebody once said, a testimony is a wonderful thing to have, but it's a real pain to get. So my life as a student in a school, I was not a grade A student by any means. I was probably a little bit of a troublemaker. I don't know. Did I enjoy school? I guess to a certain extent I did, and yet there was a when I left school, I would just go that way. When I got out of school, I was glad. I was done. I was never to return to this classroom again. I was not going to step foot in this school. I wanted nothing to do with school. Well, saying is, you know, man plans and God laughs. So I've been back to school quite a bit. I've been on the school board now, I think around 10 years. The last 4 years I served as a chairman. And I am blessed to serve with a group of men that are totally committed to the work of the school. And that has not always been the case over my years. So maybe we can discuss that a little bit, this idea of serving well, what all that involves. Like I said, I have been blessed, especially over my years that I served as chairman. It's been a real blessing. We did go through some hard times, and that's to be expected. I'm sure each of us have a story here today. Some of the things, some of the challenges that you face in school, and crazy thing is, you're not alone. A lot of us are facing the same thing, if we really admit it. Maybe a little bit of culture-wise, it might be a little different, but we are facing a lot of the same things here today, and that's the blessing of coming to CASBY. I've been going to CASBY now, I guess my first one was probably about 11 years ago, and it's been a blessing to come to these meetings. I'm also part of a The last 5 years, I was part of the Teachers Institute committee, where we teach and train teachers. Actually, our Hope Fellowship here, we put that on. I'm not sure how many years that has been going. So I know there's faith builders out there. There's all the different ones. But, yeah, if you're looking for it, just a three-day training, Teachers Institute. So there's resources for that. We do put that on. It's the last week of July. It's a Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. It's always the last week of July. If you want to send your teachers, new teachers, that's a great resource. Be glad to do that. I do have a passion for the mission of the school, and I say a mission because that's what it is. It's more than about giving a simple education. We can all learn our ABCs, 1, 2, 3s, but there's more to it than that. And I think you all agree with that. A little bit more of who I am. I've been blessed to, I do have been owning and managing electrical contracting. I've been doing that the last 24 years. So I've worked with people, worked with employees and customers. And so I have the joys and sorrows of that. It's been a privilege being part of the school. And I think the greatest blessings for me personally, being on the school board and serving, is having a direct involvement in my own children's education. As we are called by God to teach and train our children, and I'm excited to be in a group of school board members that hopefully we can talk about this, but it's bigger than ourselves, but to be involved in our own children's education, I'm excited about that. So getting right into this, school board buy-in is paramount. I'm going to start with that. Buy-in as a school board member is paramount. Now, why is that so important? Why would that be important? I don't know how it is. Like I said, I've been part the last number of years of an excellent school board. I feel I'm partial. But of a board that works together very well. We have been through some difficult stuff. We had a lot of laughter, a lot of tears, and a lot of things that we've faced. But that really brought us together, and I really appreciate that. But why is buy-in paramount? So let me ask this. Who's here as a board member for maybe the first time, or this is your first year serving as a board? Is kind of getting a little idea who I'm talking to a little bit. All right, so we got a number of brand new board members. Congratulations on your hard fought running and your campaign. It's been difficult, but congratulations on that. So that's not how you done it, or you must do it different. No, we don't do that. I know when I was elected first time as a board member, our term is 5-year terms. I'm coming to the end of my second 5-year term. I don't know all the thoughts that go through your mind as a new board member. And it can be excitement again, or just what have I gotten myself into, or you tell me, or you know yourself what your thoughts are. Paramount, buy-in is paramount. I was at one of my earlier CASB meetings, and I'm not here to cast judgment or anything. I can only relate to you what I happened to me in my life. I talked to somebody, I don't even know who it was anymore. And they said, yeah, they just got elected, and I'm just here to serve my 5 years of prison. I was like, wow, that's interesting. So hopefully you don't have that attitude. I was always one to, one of my first things I did was I want to do something. I want to be active. I'm not here looking for any glory or any of that, but I do want to serve. And I think buy-in is paramount. Now, why say that? Because your attitude towards service will affect others. It'll affect the board. It'll affect, and maybe we can get into this more, but it'll affect your fellow board members. It's going to affect your teachers, your staff. It's going to affect your students. they will pick up on. You can't fake it. You cannot fake it. The attitude of service, you know, what fires you up? I guess I'm just, what gets you excited in life? Now, I give me a little glance. I love hunting. I love fishing. I can go down. I have a little bit of ADD, so I can go down a lot of trails here. If you want to talk hunting and fishing, I love. If you want to go fishing, I'd love to take you fishing. But that's what one thing at first. But serving others, being part of the school, I love going to school board meeting. I love working with the staff. I just love that. But what fires you up? If you're not as a new employee, some of my new employees or new board members, you know, you kind of feel like, where do I fit in? What's all happening here? And, you know, there's just, I often tell my employees, I said a lot, we train a lot of them. I said, you know, really all I need is two things from you. You got to be willing to learn. You got to be willing to work. After that, everything else will fall in place. Just be willing to learn and willing to work, and everything will fall in place. You know, there's just real no substitution for good old-fashioned sweat and tears, I guess. A little bit of elbow grease. Now, I have a little question here for you, and a little feedback. So, what do you do? So, as a new board member, what do you do if you have elected a new board member, or you are elected, but you feel that you cannot give yourself fully to the work? Now, this is not the proper Mennonite thing to ask or do, because a lot of times you just do it and you put your head down. But what if you have other interests or no desire to serve or cannot dedicate the time or resources needed to serve? What do you do? Does your school board member have the ability and the support in resigning? What do you think? Would that be taboo? I don't know if that's the right term to use, but that actually happened to us. I'll tell you a story about that. We elected, and he actually was a good friend of mine. I thought he would do very well at serving. He was elected to a school board member, and I got a phone call a few days after he was elected at church, and he said, I don't know. He said, I'm involved with this mission work. And he was. It was legitimate. He was involved with this and different things in life and where he was at in life. He said, I don't know if I can give my full time and I just dedicate myself to being on the school board. And, wow, what do you do with that? We didn't even have our first board meeting yet. And so I said, well, talk to some of the other board members. What do you feel about that? And there was mixed feelings on that. But we accepted that. Again, back to this whole thing is buy-in is paramount in my mind. Because if you have a board member that is not giving of themselves. They're there, but they're not there. If you know what I mean, they're there, but they're not there. They're there for the decisions, but for the boots on the ground. Maybe we'll get into that more, but it becomes this elephant in the room, maybe a little bit. It really puts more stress on the other board members. And we respectfully accepted this young man's decision to resign. And again, there was some mixed feelings on that. But the end, in the long run, as I thought about that more later, I really respected him for that. And again, that's not necessarily our culture's thing to do. You just serve and you just do and you just do. But you know, if he knew, and I respected that because he understood really where he was at in life, and we accept that, and obviously we elected another board member later, a few weeks later in the church. You know, everybody has special gifts. As you, I don't know where you're at in life and what you, what God has been bringing you through. But each thing is a step to helping you in the what God has you for today. You, the struggles you went through in the past are helping you today. Your beliefs are what drive your behavior. What you believe in will affect your behavior. Your beliefs are what you drive your behavior. How you truly feel about education is going to fuel your your behavior towards your responsibilities as a school board member. If you don't believe in education, if you don't believe in the mission of the school, it's hard to put out. It's hard to put your all into that. Matthew 6:21 says, "So for where your treasure is, there will your time, your finances, that's where it will be also." If you're not sure where you're at in life, just challenge you, go back in your last few months of your calendar on your phone or wherever it is. Take a look at your calendar. That'll tell you what your priorities are. If you're still not sure what your priorities are, go to your garage, your barn, and open it up and what's sitting in there. That's your priorities, because that's where your time and your money goes to. That didn't hit me between the eyes. So like I said, this is for me too. This it's time to sell some boats the way it sounds. So there'll be times, finances. Your time and money will always have reveal a person's priorities. You know, most of us have full-time jobs, and you know, we need to take time out for the education of our children. Take interest in our godly education. There'll be times when there's funds are needed to cover expenses. I don't know if your school is just absolutely flush with cash. If it is, I'd like to talk to you. I'd like to know how you're doing it. There's times when there's lean times, and there's times when there's fat times. But sometimes, as a board, you know, we have already passed or had impromptu, like, hey, we need some money to cover some of these teacher salaries here this week. And so you do what you got to do. I do have a question from you. I'd like to sit here a little bit. Your role, one of your roles in serving well. Here's a question. What would you say is one of your best abilities as a person to give to your school? What is some of your best abilities that you can give to the school or the school board? I'd like to hear from you. What are some of your best abilities?
Attendance at school.
Attendance at school. Very good. Any others? It's kind of a vague question.
I don't know if this is what you're looking for, but I guess what I'm thinking down the line of is get your teachers' backs.
Teachers' backs. Absolutely. Yeah.
Be there to support them.
I appreciate that. That's a big one. Yeah. Support your teachers. Have their backs. Yeah. Well, as I thought about that for a bit, the best ability, I think you hit right on it. Your best ability that you can give to your school is your availability. Your availability, being there when it's needed. As a chairman, you kind of get you get the first phone calls typically if something's going wrong or in the evenings or whatever it is. And schedules, we all got schedules. We all have busy schedules, but availability, being there, giving of your precious time is key. That speaks volumes to your teachers, backing up your teachers, knowing that the school board does care, giving of your time, being available. Visitations, hopefully we can talk about that a little bit more, your availability and visitations. School trips, I don't know if you have shop class, teaching a shop class, helping out school maintenance and additional. There might be times when there's additional board meetings that we meet once a month. There's times where you just, could be after church or whatever it is, or additional meetings that need done. Simply being available for doing what needs done. I'm going to get on a little bit of the teacher visitation. Teacher teacher visitation and evaluations. How often is too often to visit? Is there anything like that? How often should you visit? Maybe that's a better question. How often should you visit? I like some interaction here. As a school board member, how often should you visit? Do you have a plan? Do you have a plan? And we'll talk about that later, maybe having a plans. But do you visit, or is that a priority? Or so think about that a little bit. So when you walk into, I know what it's like when I was in school. And I'm not here to cast stone at previous, but when I was young, and here comes a school board member. My first, you know, we were like, all right, who's going to die today? You know, like, here comes Mr. So-and-so. Somebody's in trouble. That's just my perspective back. Is that the viewpoint of your school? Is that a great thing for students to think? Now, if they've been bad and they've been acting up, they should have a certain fear when they see a school. There's a reason for that. Teachers should feel the support and visitation. So how often should you visit? Yes.
On our school board, the chairman and I teach, we teach PE. He teaches one day, he and his wife teach one day, and my wife and I teach the other day. Mm-hmm. So they might well wonder who's going to die today. Yeah. But we found that very helpful in just having an idea of what's going on at school and, mm-hmm. and what the morale is and what
it's important
being available.
Right. Thank you. Any other thoughts on that?
Once a week or so, but then I feel like if you're there too often, then they feel like the. You got teachers could be like, is something going on? Are you keeping an eye on me? There is that. Yeah, definitely.
For sure. Yeah. Again, it depends a little bit on your role. If you're an administrator or your principal, different schools are set up. You know, I was thinking as far as a chairman or don't have to be a chairman. It's not always the chairman's job to go in and visit school, right? So how often should you? Anyone else I want to share? I want to cut anybody off here.
I think an important time is, and I did this after our Christmas program, we felt the students did well, and I think it does well for the school board to stop and pass on the compliments of the school board to the students and teachers.
Yeah.
Well, that's not a set.
Communicating
how
well.
How often, but yeah. Stop. You're talking about if they're scared of the school board member mm-hmm. coming in versus, you know, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He came to tell us we did a good job.
That's important. Feedback is very important. Yeah. I don't know. We have a schedule. It just struck me here. I think, well, I'm going to have to keep moving here. But we do have a schedule that you have to go in as a school board, make a schedule up. You have a 2-week window. Hey, your turn's in this 2 weeks. So usually two board members are in between every month. And we have feedback. And we actually keep you accountable for that. You are going to be asked who you visited, when you were there, all that. And we also have faculty meetings. I have faculty meeting once a month. So, and I also go in every Friday just to, I don't know if they like me coming in because I bring them drinks and treat often when I stop in. I like to do that. But I just love to go. Fridays are one of my favorite days. It's most busiest days because I do have another job I have to do. But Fridays, I like to go in there to get that pulse. What's happening at school? That's also how I build my agenda. When you go into school, you soon find out and talk to teachers. That's how you build it. That's how you build an agenda for your meetings. It's often where I get my agenda. So visiting school is very important.
I'm sure if you have time for this or not.
Yeah.
So I'm brand new to this school board. Mm-hmm. It was just put on in September.
Mm-hmm.
I do run a small company,
mm-hmm.
and I started off just the company just by myself. So I learned everything the hard way of how to run the business,
mm-hmm.
and it's been a real roller coaster. I've been doing it for about 12 years now, so
mm-hmm.
I think I've learned a lot of things. So now coming into school board here, I'm amazed at how well the school runs based on how the board rotates and on and off and. And so the guy that's, I'm vice chair, so I don't really know what that means yet, but that's what I mean. And so the guy that's chair, he was put on last year, and so he was vice chair last year. So he sort of ran under the chair that time, but he felt kind of thrown into it, not really sure how to do it.
Right.
I'm thinking, like, how would my company run if the CEO, if I got replaced every 5 years type of thing?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, so what should I actually do here? So I know that in my company, I'm the person that's in charge of, you know, making sure things happen.
Right.
So here I am, I'm trying to kind of not overstep my boundaries because I'm the owner of my company. It's hard for me just to step back and let somebody else do it because I'm like, okay, this needs done and it's maybe not happening.
Right.
So my question here is, do you have like a roadmap or like something that you follow? Like, so once you're not going to be chair anymore, are you training somebody behind you that will make sure that things are happening that are like, you know what's important because you've been on the board for 10 years now, but will the new guy also, do you have somebody, do you always have enough people in there that always know what they're doing, that you're doing a good job running the school?
That's an excellent question. Thank you for asking. We have, the way we have it set up in our, is you are, okay, so my term is, say July is when our term's up. So just this past February, we did elections. It's basically half a year early. So if I can explain this right. So we nominated a new school board member. And at that meeting, we go downstairs and we have re-elections. So I already know that Vernon Shirk is going to take my place as a chairman half a year before his gets thrown into the fire. So he, at that point, now I know who I'm training. So he'll come to extra meetings. I think he will. he's a busy guy. The good thing is he's been chairman before. So I don't know. Are you elected and then put into the fire right away, or did you have a little bit of a couple months window there as far as training?
We're put in right away.
Right away, okay. And that maybe be something to consider as a church. That struggle is real. We used to do that years ago, and it's been a huge blessing simply because when I was in training, I haven't done this before. And just to sit in and learn, you got at least 6 months time, and the transition becomes super seamless in that. So training who's replacing you is key. That's what I would recommend. Maybe looking at electing a little sooner or finding out what your job is before you show up and say, hey, by the way, you're this now. That's probably what I would. If anybody else has anything to share on that, feel free. Yes.
One of the things I got from my friend Patrick here last year was a calendar. That we revised and edited and put the things on, you know, this is the agenda, this needs to be discussed at the January school board meeting. And often we found that we put the things on the calendar maybe a month or two before we typically would have discussed them. If you put them on too early, then we're out of time today, we don't need to discuss this. It's, you run that risk, but if you're proactive at having a discussion, you know, after 10 years or so, you know what you're going to discuss in February, you know what you're going to discuss in
right.
June.
Right.
But if you have that on a calendar, and often the month before, you might typically, before it becomes an emergency.
Not playing catch up all the time.
You're
or trying
not playing
to,
catch up all the time.
Yeah. That's a great idea. Have a little calendar. Hey, January, we got to start hiring new teachers for next year, whatever. Look at a lot of times February here, we're looking at payroll and budgeting for next year. All that stuff is typically right now is when we're working on that type of stuff, budgeting and tuition, the whole nine yards. But any other thoughts on that?
I found that I've got that calendar at Casby's where I found that, went home and was like, hey, Virgil, we need to have this, you know, because I've been on for 2 years and I still don't know what's going on. And and they put me on as chairman, so it's like, get a hold of Patrick. So that's good.
Yeah. Don't be afraid. Don't be an island. Don't be afraid to reach out to other people. I've talked to other. One thing I did as a chairman, I set up a we have WhatsApp communicate by WhatsApp quite a bit or whatever you use. Sister churches or churches in there, our sister churches here, we have a little chairman chat. Just, hey, just something that pops up or questions or what are you guys doing? How's this? Don't be afraid to ask questions. A lot of times we tend to, well, it's just us and we don't want to bother anybody else. But a lot of people are asking the same questions a lot of times. But very good.
So this might be a question for the school board. I think there's another session for the school board structure.
Mm-hmm.
But how common is it to have job descriptions as it relates to the brother's question
mm-hmm.
as to what his job is?
Mm-hmm.
We do find that I've been on a couple of different times, but the first time I was on, we had it set up to where you were vice for two, for I think 2 years, and then you were chairman for two.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it took the full 2 years just to kind of,
fair.
You know, to even be carrying your own weight.
Yeah.
And I know schools that even every year are voting on a new chairman, and it seems like really unfortunate. Unless, you know, I say every year it's at least open for
mm-hmm.
you know for another election. But I'm just thinking also of so how do the different ones coming on a new board member? How does he know what he's doing? What we're discussing?
Mm-hmm.
Is it profitable or is it good to have a job description?
Mm-hmm.
At least gives a little guideline,
mm-hmm.
Something to at least start with.
That's a great question. We absolutely do have that. I don't have it here with us, but we have a chairman book, and each of you are responsible for this. The vice chairman is responsible for this. Secretary, treasurer, what happens, who does this? The vice chairman is in charge of making sure the teachers have, just for instance, school trips and stuff like that. Who's in charge, who does what when? That's super helpful. Now, it doesn't matter, we all blend and we work together, but hey, this is your job. This is what's expected of you. I'm not sure how you do it without it. I mean, communication needs to be key then, but.
Obviously, I mean, most schools, I think, would have a handbook
right.
that kind of generalizes, but I'm thinking of more specific that when a school board is voted on, he's, you know, that he has a document in front of him that is a little bit more detailed than what is given to the whole school.
Right.
Patrons and all, you know, for mm-hmm. the school.
Yeah. Handbook. We have a patron's handbook, we have a faculty or teacher's handbook, and we have a chairman's handbook. We have all three. Yeah. Not the only way to do it. I'm just saying that's how we have it. So I think just to wrap up the visitation here, I'm going to run out of time. Sorry. When you go to visit, don't usurp the teacher's authority in the classroom. You're there to visit. If there's an issue, wait till later. I heard a story not too long ago, about a year ago. School board went in to visit, and towards the end of his visit, he got up, went to the student, "You're doing this wrong, you're doing this wrong." Went to the teacher, said, "You're doing this wrong, you should be doing it this way," right in front of the whole class. Don't do that. The students were in tears, the teachers were in tears, and she didn't teach there again. But I couldn't believe when, well, the father would call me and talk to me about that. It was a different school. But anyway, it's just don't do that. It's just like the number one thing. Don't do that. Unless, obviously, there's a crisis happening. But don't usurp the teacher's authority when you visit. Teachers want feedback, by the way. They do. We have a form that we often take. It's in the office. You pick it up when you go visit. They want feedback. It's a little intimidating when they come in there. They tell us that it's a little intimidating, but they do love and they want feedback, just like we do at work. We love customer feedback. We love employee feedback. We want feedback. Do the same to that. Building relationships with your teacher, again, is it paramount? Think of ways to bless your teachers, even visiting and taking, again, I talk about snacks after school, meals, whatever it is. Give flowers to the teachers. Now, just one real quick story. I'm full of stories, I guess. But my wife said, "Hey, this one teacher has a birthday." And okay. So she's like, "Here's a nice vase of beautiful flowers." I was like, "Great. Yeah, that's a great idea. That's why I'm married, because she helps me think of these things." So I take this. I get up early, go into school before she got there, put this on vase on her desk. And I was like, "This is great. She should feel loved and appreciated and all that." Well, I didn't realize, You put a vase of flowers from some unknown person on a teacher's desk, single and available. What do you think's going to happen? I cause great chaos that I did not mean to cause. Now, we have a beautiful staff. The other teachers, I guess they know my personality. I love a good joke. And so they played along with it. And finally, about noontime, I got this text. Did you put this? I said, yeah, that was me. And I didn't realize the chaos that was going on in school. So anyway, I was married and she was fine. So so yeah, do thoughtful things like that. But yeah, just make sure that she knows whose it's coming from. Unity on the board. I don't know where you're at with unity on the board. Again, I want to talk about that a little bit. It's tough being on a board when there's not unity. I've been there. It wasn't like super, super bad, but I've been there. There's, what is the number one enemy of unity a lot of times? Poor communication. The number one enemy of unity is poor communication. I believe that. Poor communication is the right hand not knowing what the left hand is doing. When that happens, the result is strife, frustration, and mistrust. The result is people will start taking matters in their own hands, matters like where are we going, how are we going to get there, and what are we supposed to focus on right now, what is most important. This unity causes frustration. And a lot of times, thank you, when there's disunity, you know where the best place to look is? Go look in the mirror. I found that to be true. Go look in the mirror. If there's disunity in the board, am I doing my best to have unity in the school? Am I communicating well? I'm going to have to keep moving here. I'm going to jump ahead. I think speak the same language. Communicate well. If there's a disgruntled patron or whatever it is, have one spokesman address the issue. We don't want one person trying to talk and then find out there's another school board member talking to this side and this side. It just creates chaos. That has happened. It can happen. Communicate well. Speak the same language. Suggestions for making school board meetings successful. I'm really jumping through this fast here. First of all, be on time. School board meetings, be on time. Someone once said, if you're 15 minutes early, you're on time. If you're 5 minutes early, you're late. If you're 5 minutes late, don't bother coming. You ever hear that? So don't disrespect. It's a little disrespectful to your fellow board members. It's typically, at least for us, school board meetings can get late. So let's make sure you start on time. Be prepared. A lot of times we send out agendas, hopefully more than the day before, but we get agendas out. They're there for a reason. Look over them. Be prepared. If you were given a task or some homework from previous meeting, make sure it gets done. It's very important. And this one here, I think has, next one, being open and honest. And I think this was one of the key things that has helped our board, being very open and honest. We got very diverse minds. I'm the crazy one, if you have not picked that up. I have ideas, and they have to sometimes rain me like, no, that's stupid. And I said, well, I thought it was an idea. But, so be open and honest of who you are. That's what sharing. Everybody bringing their ideas to the table. If you don't agree with it, say it. We have that. And it helps you make a better decision, a better plan. Look at it from all the angles. Don't just be yes man, yes man, yes sir. It's time to get out of here. Yes sir. Be creative. Add your piece to the puzzle. And yet recognizing that we're but humans, we will make mistakes, and take ownership of your mistakes. When things don't, if we make bad mistakes, we messed up, and admit that to the board or the patrons, if necessary, the teachers. Hey, we made a bad mistake, but then be willing to change that. Take advice. One of the worst things you can do is make changes to curriculum without talking to your teachers. How will this affect the students, policymakers, all that? And also, I'm going real fast, I'm sorry, but bring facts. Bring facts to the meeting. Well, Johnny came home and he was saying this about the teacher and this other. I'm sorry, Johnny, don't count right now, you know, unless you bring facts to the meeting. You waste so much time in school board meetings without having hard facts. This is what I really wanted to get to, but embrace the heat. Embrace the heat. What I say by that, the hard stuff, the challenges. That's what you're here for. Esther 4:14 says, and who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? God, you're here for a reason. Do your job. Embrace the heat. Don't face the challenges straight on. Face them honestly. This is where we're at. This is where we're at. This is what the real struggle is. Get to the root of the problem. A lot of time, I don't know if you ever heard this, you know, if a student's acting up in school, I like to think what's causing this. You know, there's a saying that every obnoxious act is a cry for help. And a lot of times there's something going on elsewhere. It's time to quit. Confidentiality is paramount. Be confidential. There's times when we're in stressful meetings, stressful things that we're facing. It might be about, hey, this other brother or family in church, or there's some things that are exposed and whatever. Be confidential. Apply the golden rule. I did not talk about finances. Time to close here. I was going to talk about finances a little bit. Who carries the burden of our schools? The financial. One thing I really wanted to hit on this one, and this one I thought about. A lot of times there is this big ball, this financial obligation, this financial cost of running a school. Who carries that burden? You think about, I'm going to zero in a little bit on your teacher pay. Think about that a little bit. Obviously, the less you pay your teachers, the less of that burden you have to carry. Don't put the burden on the teachers. Do your very best to pay them the best you can. I plead with you. It's groceries cost the same for them, the gas, everything. Have we forgotten what it's like to sacrifice? We live in such a, at least in this Lebanon-Lexer County, we have such an affluent society. Don't forget the golden rule when it's time to budget your teacher's pay. Have a plan. Remember, if you aim at nothing, you will hit it every time. Have a plan. Keep a plan. Have short-term, long-term goals. Where do you want to be? Change can be a good thing. I'm just jumping real through here. Change can be a good thing. Sometimes you have to change to be consistent. My closing thought here is, I don't know where you're at in your school board, your school, the struggles you're facing today. But take heart. It might feel overwhelming. You might have new jobs or whatever it might be, and just, how am I going to get this done? But keep going. God cares. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Thank you. Appreciate your time.